Listening to manifestations, it's amazing because it's God talking to us. When we read the word, it's God talking to us. And if he gives us revelation, it's God talking to us. And, you know, all the things he always tells us in manifestations, a lot of times it's the same type of things. Trusting in him, there's nothing he can't do, he takes care of your heart, you know. And he's telling us that because he wants us, you know, to have that confidence to believe him. And to believe what he says, you know. There's a reason why he tells us that stuff. There's a reason why he says that stuff in the Word, too. Because he just wants us to believe it, you know. And because when we do, we're going to see the results. And see things, like you said, come to pass. So anyway, we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. A little bit about David and Goliath, which pretty much everybody knows, you know, the gist of the story, if not maybe more detailed than I know it, but we're all familiar with it. And we're going to start in verse 1. There's a lot of stuff here, so I had to kind of chop it down a little. You can go way further and read all the way, you know, so I kind of had to just, I figured verse 1, it's kind of like the battle scene, the battleground. We're going to read pretty much a lot of chapter 17. So in verse 1 it says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shocho, and which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shocho and Azekah and Ephes-Damimim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them." Kind of like, you know, when you watch the movies, you got the, you know, they start rushing down. One's on one mountain facing each other, and the valley's in the middle. You know, you always see those movies like that. And there, verse 4, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." Pretty big guy. I've heard anywhere from 9-something to 11 feet, right? Because I think a cubit was 1.5, approximately, and then whatever a span is. Anybody know what a span is? Is that like a span of your arm?
Distance from the pinky to the thumb, if I remember correctly.
So it's a couple half.
Depends
foot
on the hand.
Yeah, so if it's Goliath's span, it could be, you know. But anyway, he's a big, really big guy. So that means everything on him is big. It's not just his height. I'm sure his shoulders are, you know, gigantic. His head's gigantic. His legs, his arms. So height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had graves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. So he was pretty, not only was he a giant, he was, you know, really equipped. Everything was practically protected on his body. You know what I mean? He's a tough, I would say he's, even like these UFC fighting, I think they'd even have a tough time taking this guy on, you know? So verse 8, he said, "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, when will we be your servants? Then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." So he's pretty much setting like a proposal type thing. You know, you see it all the time in smaller things, right? If you beat me, this is what I get. I beat you, this is, you know. So that's basically what he's setting. So, and the Philistine said, "I defy the army of Israel this day. Give me a man that we we may fight together. Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were blessed, and they were excited, and they were so psyched because they knew this was an easy battle for God. So, that's not what happened. They were all, because it's not just, it says, what does it say, verse 11, Israel, so when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So you're talking a lot of people, they were all afraid. You know, they weren't confident, they didn't have belief, they didn't say, we could do this, you know, maybe we could do this. You know, is there a possibility? It was basically like, you know, being scared. Everybody knows what it means to be scared of something. They were afraid. And then let's jump down to 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So for 40 days, this giant come down and basically said, come at me, boys. Who I got here? Who are you going to send to me, you know? And so at least we know for 40 days, we at least know no one took that offer, because if he's been doing this for 40 days, he's still doing it, which means basically, you know, no one was willing to do this. Okay, now we've over at verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. We just seen that before. Verse 25. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be, the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. Verse 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this? To the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? That's a breath of fresh air. Here's somebody that all of a sudden, and it's really the only person that all of a sudden's like, what? This guy said, you know, he's going to do what against defy the army of God? Now, if you just look real quick to chapter 16, we're just going to look at David for a second, so we can kind of get an idea of who David is and why he saw things different than the way they saw it. So in verse 1 of 16, it says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Okay? In verse 7, so God's looking for a king, and he's saying it's going to be one of Jesse's sons. In verse 7 it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. It's a pretty cool thing. So this person that God picks is got a heart, you know. He must have a heart for God. You know, there's something that God wanted in a person that this man had. And in verse 8 it says, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. So now Jesse's bringing his boys in and, you know, saying, oh, it's got to be this one, you know. No, it's not him. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. So he keeps bringing them, and Samuel keeps saying, no, none of these, because obviously he's waiting for God to tell him which one it is, right, which one God chose. The Lord hath not chosen these. Verse 11, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, well, there is one more, but, you know, this is with the sheeps rolling around in the mud, you know. I gave you my best. These are the ones that I'm thinking would work. but there is another one. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. We will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. So he's good looking. I think ruddy is like reddish, like a fair skin, reddish, like whatever. He was a good looking. I guess he was a good looking dude. Seems like, right? Am I reading that right? It seems like that, right? goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brother, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Mm-hmm. So, from the census, or whatever, I don't know, it doesn't give all the details, but for the census, the father really thought it would probably be the other, you know, sons. It wasn't him, for whatever reason. Maybe they had more of a king look to them. I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, he left the other one out. God chose that one, and we know he had a heart, you know what I mean? Because God looks at the inward man. And so the other thing David had was the Spirit of God upon him, which really set him apart from a lot of the other people. okay, so that was verse 13. So let's go to 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. So we know David was anointed, he's got the Spirit of God, and you know, something about his heart was different. You know, God really, this guy was a humble dude that really must have loved God. Verse 32, it says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. So David's willing to, you know, now you're starting to see not only the other thing, you know, David has this confidence, you know, this believing this, you know, it's amazing. Because remember, 40 days this guy's standing here, no one. And then, how many people is that had an opportunity to say, I'll do it or whatever, but yet this one person and that had the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God, remember, in Acts, like where it says they were fear of the Jews, but then when they got born again, all of a sudden they have this amazing confidence. You know, so that's the Spirit. We have that same Spirit. And it's even greater because it's not upon us, it's in us. So that's amazing confidence and believing and trust. And David said unto Saul in verse 34, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. In verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivereth me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. So it was pretty cool because, first of all, you know, I was thinking, I'm trying to parallel this to us because, you know, one of the things is he already had experience of God delivering him. I mean, that's, you know, you read it and you think, yeah, okay, he got the lion. But if you really think about it, by his bare hands, he chased after and took out a lion and a bear. You know, so, and he says, and he gives the glory to God. He said, God delivered me out of that stuff. So he already has that experience like we do. We have the same experience. You know, when we believe God and we see God bring something to pass, we need to remember that for the next time we need him. You know, you think of how many times God has done stuff for you, right? How many times, you know, and you say, of course God's going to do this. You know, that confidence, that trust. You don't doubt, you know. You just stay 100% with something. And he, you know, said this is what he did. And the same way he did that is the same way we're going to take out this Philistine. So that's pretty cool. It was verse 37. So Okay. Oh. And okay, so and Saul armored David. This is cool too. And Saul armored David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. So check this out. Not only you would think that, you know, he would like to have all this great armor. I mean, look at the way Goliath is armed. Not only is twice the size, he's also armed with all this stuff. And you know, I don't know. I just try to think the way he thought. You know, he's like, you know what? This isn't proven. But what is proven?
God.
He proved God. That's proven. But this armor isn't proven. I've never proved this, you know. It's pretty cool. So he decided, you know what? I have more confidence in God being with me than any other thing, you know, whatever it is. Maybe his slingshot was proven too, you know, because he brought that with him. So, you know, it's just cool the way he thought. It's kind of, right? He's like, he's one of those guys like, nah, I did it this way. This works. Never used this before, so I'm not doing that, you know. So in verse, he says that in 39, and then in verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and a sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. Funny way. He's like, you sent me a ruddy, good-looking dude? Without any armor? Had to get that ruddy in. It's pretty funny. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. I don't know. Maybe it was just an ego thing, like, this is the best you could do. This is what you know, this is you're sending me that, like, it's like an insult, probably, you know what I mean? Like, I'm guessing, you know, I mean, just thinking, the ego this giant must have had, never mind they sent him this kid with no armor on. You know what I mean? It's almost like an insult. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. That's pretty cool. That reminds you of, like, in the name of Jesus Christ, like in the New Testament. You know, that's what we have. You know, like, this is how I come to you. And all his confidence, all his trust was on one thing, God. That's it. Wasn't that he was a youth, that he was great at this, great at that. He had 100%. You know, I think with us, like, how many times have we had that confidence or that trust, and then a little bit of doubt gets in there, and, you know, we have a choice. Do we keep it there, or do we push it away and just say, nope, I'm 100%. And you know what? God backs us up. When we trust him, when we believe his word, a promise that's his word, he backs us up because we did exactly what his word said. You know, when you believe this, this happens. You know, no doubt, no worry, no fluctuating, just 100%. And when we do that, we have the right, just like he did, you know, by the, in the, come to the name of the Lord of hosts, in the name of Jesus Christ, we could do what God says he allows us to do. As long as it's written in the word, we hear it in manifestations, you know, it, or by revelation, you know, it's right there. We have that ability. And David has an amazing amount of confidence. You know, he just never budged. And he's face to face with, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like he doesn't even see this thing, or he had a really, put it this way, if he would have backed out, I don't think anybody would have made fun of him. You know what I mean? If he got there and looked up at this thing and said, you know what? How about we do this another day? Let's just, you know, let's something. I don't think anybody would say anything. But, you know, he did it. This day, in verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, you know? So he had this amazing confidence, and, you know, I don't know, maybe God showed him in a dream or something. Maybe he saw it happen. He just mind-pictured it, or it was a dream. Doesn't say, or maybe it does somewhere else. I didn't read it. But somehow he knew exactly what was going to happen. He saw it, that he was going to do what he's going to do. You know, take this head, he's going to be dead, and give it, you know. And he didn't budge either. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord, verse 47, all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword or a spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. God did the giving. Or, you know, God was the one fighting this battle, really. He was just the person involved, but God was the one who was behind it all. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. And, you know, what else that I thought about? Do you know the only thing, as far as I could see, the only thing that wasn't protected was his face? Because remember, he had a brass helmet on and his entire body. So it wasn't like, oh, I can get him in the heart, I can get him here. It was just this much, really, right? Probably. I don't know what his helmet looked like, but even his, you know, some of his forehead and then the rest of his face. That's basically it. That was the only shot he had. And who knows, if he hit him in the cheek, it might not have killed him, you know? So it might have had to be the forehead or whatever. It's pretty amazing. So he stoned something in the forehead, verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Remember, David didn't have a sword. So therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So that was pretty cool. I mean, that was just like, that happened pretty quick, it seems, too, right? It was just like, ready? Let's get this done. Boom, boom, doom. You know, just gigantic head dripping with blood. You know? But anyway, I wanted to close in Ephesians chapter 6. We have, you know, everything, the confidence, everything that David had, we have. Even greater, right? We have the Spirit in us. He had it upon us. He had bits and pieces of, you know, it says he's a wise. If you read later, it says he's wise. He had a great heart. You know, we have everything 100% complete in every measure. And even greater than that, we have believers around us that have the Spirit of God. Not just David with the Spirit of God and everybody else doesn't, you know. So that, you know, it's pretty amazing the stuff we have. And even greater than that, we don't even really have to fight a physical battle like David did, because now we fight the spiritual battle. So we don't even have to get to that point, you know, to have to, I mean, if we had to. Our biggest battles are things the adversary throws at us, you know, could be whatever it is, you know, but everything could be fought in a spiritual way, which is pretty cool. So in Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So here you go. Our fight is a spiritual fight against the devil. And how do we do that? Well, for one thing, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He did, right? He wrestled against flesh and blood. It was a flesh and blood thing. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's our battle. The way he battled Goliath, this is our battle. And how do we do it? You know? How does it actually get done? It says, so wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. So here God wants us to take a proven armor of God with us. That ye may be able to stand within evil day, in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, God's word, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of believing, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So that's how we do it. And we can do this every day, in every situation. Really, it's available. God makes it available to do it. Anytime we choose to, it's our choice. We want to believe him, but sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're in the middle, we're not, you know, a little whatever. God doesn't care, but we have the opportunity. We can do that. As much as we want to believe him and his word, he will bring it to pass. Just like David and Goliath. That's it.